Because you're precious. Precious. Because you're precious. I know you're precious.
Welcome to Talking with the G's. I'm David G.
And I'm Danielle G.
Here we explore the unseen world of music, life, and culture. Our show is live today, and you can call us at 1-888-627-6008.
Our guest today is L.A. Calling. L.A. Calling is a native of Los Angeles. He launched his solo career in 2007. He's open for big-name acts, including Rage Against the Machine, Cypress Hill, and many others. His sound has been described as a combination of dance, adrenaline, with the power of guitar. Welcome, L.A. Calling.
It's a pleasure to be here with both of you.
Thank you for joining us. We have heard some incredible things about your music. It has been called an audio version of a strobe light, something explosive, and one of the best things that has happened to house, funk, rock, and pop. How would you describe your music?
Well, you know, that's really nice to hear from you guys. I would describe L.A. Calling as a multi-genre group. It's high-energy entertainment. And the purpose of LA Calling is to translate an electric experience through multimedia, you know, audio, video, graphic design. I mean, when people hear about LA Calling as the band or LA Calling the brand, I want them to immediately think about LA Calling as something that's driven, something that's loaded with adrenaline and high energy.
We know that you launched your solo career in 2007, but how did you get your start with writing, playing, and producing your own music?
Mm-hmm. I would say that story goes back about 100 years. My great-grandmother, around 1910, 1911, she had an affinity for music, you know? Her dream was that her four boys, her four sons, become musicians. And one of those boys or sons was my grandfather. And so she made sure that they all took violin lessons and that they learned to play, you know, the violin. And they created like this ensemble group, this kids group. And ironically, next door to the group lived a family, and in that home, that family next door was an orphan girl. As they were developing this kids group, this ensemble group, they decided that they would kind of turn it into this, like, sort of like this performance art, you know, group. And so they asked the little girl next door, she's probably about 10 years old at the time, if she would be like the dancer and in costume, and, you know, so she became part of the group. She was like the dancer in costume in the group, and, you know, the four boys were the ensemble of violin. Well, eventually, you know, that little girl married the boy that played violin, and so the little girl in the costume is my grandmother. She was born around 1910. Yeah. And so, and my grandfather, he was a few years older than her. And so they kind of were in the group as kids, and it was just by chance, really, because she was just like the little girl that lived next door as an orphan. And so, you know, like throughout the years, I kind of been thinking about it. Like all my uncles, kind of, they're all crooners, and they all play guitar, you know. Like my dad plays guitar too, you know. My aunt sings, and and it's just kind of something that's always kind of been around. Everybody can just kind of do it, but nobody thought much of it. You know, nobody thought much about it. It was just kind of something that the family just what we did, you know? And, you know, now that I really kind of think back, you know, it's something, I guess it's part of my inheritance. It's, you know, it's something that's been handed down to me.
So I guess it's fair to say that you inherited music.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, so you just kind of grow up believing that you can play music. You believe that, hey, you know, I think I can do this, you know? And it all kind of really just kind of starts in, like, really kind of like in your bedroom, and you're playing air guitar, and, you know, you're singing. You know, you're singing into your mom's brush, you know, out of tune with all your heart. And then from there, you start, like, you know, you start jamming out in the garage. And, you know, then little by little, you just kind of start hanging out with other musicians. And you know, you start honing your skills, and, you know, you start taking lessons. And one thing kind of builds on another, but a big part of it too has been, like, you know, also learning from other people and outside of my family, and also, like, just being around, like, just really talented musicians. And so that's kind of where I got my start in learning to write and produce music.
Awesome. We have our first caller. It's Shannon from Baltimore.
Okay, great.
Hello, Shannon.
Hi, I have a...
Hello?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes. Welcome to Talking with the G's.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. LLA calling. I have a question for you. My son absolutely positively loves the electric guitar. He's only 8 years old, but I'm trying to find the right ways to get him, you know, into music more and around the right people, but I really don't know where to even begin to find musicians I can put someone so young around other than him rocking off on his electric guitar in the room making up songs.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions for, you know, because I'm hearing what you've done, and I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
Uh-huh. That's a great question, Shannon. Shannon, right?
Yeah.
I would say that the best thing to do is, you know, let him try out a couple of instruments, take lessons, and find out the one that he really likes, that he gravitates to naturally. Because sometimes parents, like, make the kids learn the instrument they wanted to learn, you know? Like, you know, maybe, like, you want your kid to play guitar, but he really wants to play trombone or the tuba. So, you know, for sure, formal lessons, you know, you can find other musicians that charge, you know, a lot less than going to an institution, you know.
And
there's a lot of talented musicians out there that know how to read, you know, transcribe music and stuff, and you know, they can give them the fundamentals, not just like freestyle it, not just, hey, pick it up by ear, which is important part of it, but learn the fundamentals, learn how to, you know, how to read the singular notes, start there, you know, and then from there, kind of, you know, also, you know, like, just try to make sure that he knows, or instinctually, where he gravitates to, you know. Some kids are just drummers, you know, out the box, they're just drummers, you know. They could just, you know, the way they carry themselves, the way the way they pound on the kitchen table. And some kids are just natural guitarists. Yeah. They're always just kind of strumming their fingers on something, you know, and just, they're just so, see what they gravitate to naturally, and then, you know, unite that with something that's formal.
Okay, great. Are you ever coming to the East Coast?
Yeah, I've been talking with the record company regarding touring this year, and as of right now, we're only doing like special engagements. We're going to be doing some shows in Texas, but as of, you know, right now, there's nothing like confirmed yet. But, you know, we're looking at the Midwest for sure, and the East, like New Jersey area. And so I hope to see you guys very soon.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you, Shannon, for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Do we have any callers?
No.
No other callers? Okay. Let's take another music break. Let us take a listen to one of your latest releases. This one's called Big Fat Money.
Big Fat Money.
I want a big face house and big face car. I want a big face money, baby. That's who we are.
Baby, that's no lie.
We are back. That was Big Face Money from LA Calling. We are live tonight. The number is 1-888-627-6008. We will ask that if you can, try not to call on a cell phone. If you can call from a landline, that's great, but we'd love to hear from you. We have another caller, Alexis from Nevada. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us on Talking with the G's.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I recently bought your song, Crush, on iTunes.
Yeah.
And I really like listening to it.
Thank you.
My question is, I read that you play several instruments.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you had any formal training.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can just hang up and take my answer. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Alexis. Yes, I have had some formal training. I studied choir in a community college. I studied, took piano there. I studied guitar. I've had music teachers, private lessons. I sang in the Catholic choir for a little bit. And all those things together gave me an appreciation for the actual, I guess I come back to that again, the fundamentals of music, learning how to read music, and understanding how it works, how the structure of it works, the blueprint of music. And I believe that it's helped me a great deal. It just, once you kind of learn one, it kind of becomes easier to kind of go into the next instrument, from piano to drums, and then drums to bass guitar, bass guitar to, electric guitar, and then learning how to program music, you got to know measures and bars and 16th notes and 36, so there's so many different aspects to the rudiments of music that that I've been able to apply. So yeah, I have had some formal training, and I'm real thankful for that.
Thank you for joining us, Alexis. LA Calling. You have opened for some really big names, and you have an interesting story to tell, because you've been on both sides of the fence with being a solo artist and not signed and not having that record deal, to being an artist with the record deal. Could you share some of your experiences with us?
Yeah. A while back, which wasn't that long ago, really, before I signed with Powerhouse Sony, I had made a decision a personal goal that no matter, what would happen with music, that I would do my very best at it, that I would totally commit myself, 100%, and that I would stop being my worst enemy, I wouldn't let myself be distracted by anything, and just kind of be focused. Just realize, boil down what it is that you really want to do in your life. And my decision was I want to be a professional musician, I want to have music on radio, I want to be talking with Danielle and David, I'm talking with the G's. I want to be doing stuff like that.
Oh, that's nice.
That's how I see my life, And so, so prior to becoming a musician, prior to getting the deal and all that stuff, I was already a professional musician, but not really establishing my name, still kind of trying to figure out how I'm going to do that. I mean, I'm barely just now in recent times starting to, you know, find my own groove and starting to carve my own name into the wall, you know. But the journey has been like a bunch of tiny victories, you know, and those little tiny victories kind of helped me kind of get to the next pit stop, you know. Like years ago, like I won the LA Music Awards, which is kind of like, you know, an award you win, like in the club scene and stuff. I remember like one year I opened up for A Flock of Seagulls, you know, that legendary 80s band, you know, Iran, and they have that beautiful song called Space Age Love and Telecommunications. And so, you know, I was opening for like national acts, but I didn't have a record deal, but I was doing professional shows, you know? And then I remember, like, after I finished my set, you know, at the Flock of Seagulls show, I was backstage, you know, near the dressing room. And so then, like, the singer of Flock of Seagulls comes out of his dressing room. He's about to go on stage. He passes by and he tells me, hey, great job. And he just kind of, like, goes on stage. And I was like, whoa, what a trip. Like, singer from Flock of Seagulls just told me he liked my stuff, you know? And, you know, I would say that that's like a tiny victory that kind of that helped get me through prior to getting the deal, you know. But once again, like, you know, it's all about like being a professional. Like a record deal is not going to make you successful. You know, there's still a lot of work that you have to do. There's a lot of groundwork, a lot of footwork that the label is not going to do that for you. They're just basically going to help you do what you're already doing. You know, I already had the wheel in motion, and that's why they decided to go into business with me, because, you know, I was already doing, like, radio, and I was already doing, like, magazines, and I was doing already documentaries, soundtracks, and stuff like that. And so finally when I got the deal, you know, now, like, more doors are opening up. You know, now, like, some people, you know, always ask, what's behind the magic curtain, you know? That's what every musician wants to know. That's what I wanted to know before signing the deal and all that. Like, what's behind, you know, what's behind the magic curtain? The big question, right, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, all I can really say is that, you know, that once it comes together, it's kind of like, it's a result of already kind of having it together. And now it's just a matter of building on what you've already done.
So far in your career, what are some of what would you say are some of your favorite venues you've performed at?
My favorite venues?
Yes.
My favorite venues? It's a great question. I would say one of my favorite venues of all time is the Olympic Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles. It's like a legendary place where a lot of, it's like a mid-sized theater, you know? It's, you know, I don't think it's bigger than 2,000 people. I think it might be a little smaller than that. And a lot of boxing matches they'd have there too. And so Olympic Auditorium. And then, you know, there was this famous backyard in East Los Angeles, and actually in City Terrace, where this girl, she would like charge, you know, the neighborhood. She charged the kids to come and see, like, you know, punk rock bands, and she had like this giant like dust bowl, and actually they called it Angie's Dust Bowl. And so she had like the stage, like her, I guess her dad or somebody built like this gnarly, like, you know, wood stage, you know, different kinds of wood, carpet, milk crate, you name it. And, but it was like this little like dust bowl arena, and it was dusty. I mean, you know, you need to take a shower when you got out of there. And so it was like this, people would slam dance and just like, you know, in this slam pit, like in this bowl, and it just kind of, it started like creating like this kind of like this hole, like a dome, like, you know, like from people like dancing in the in the the back of her yard, like that, this like almost like a dirt like pond or like a little swimming pool started, like they started like digging through the ground, you know. And yeah, I really enjoyed that place because it was like a little like, you know, just neighborhood like dust concert. It was awesome.
Well, now that you have a record deal, what would you like to do next?
I think one of my goals is to play Montreal in Canada, because I love that city. It's about 6 hours north of New York. I think they got a great electronic rock presence, you know. And something else that I would like to do, I think I would like to be on more soundtracks. I've done some soundtracks for, like, documentaries, but, you know, but I'd like to do more soundtracks, more music placement, more licensing in movies. That pays pretty well, and so I'd like to do more of that.
Awesome. We're going to take a music break, and we're going to play the song called Spinhead. So we're going to take a listen to that. And then David has a bunch of questions for you about this song.
Awesome.
No spinhead, I guess.
I could sing it live if you want.
Do you have any future plans?
Yeah, absolutely. LA Calling will be performing in the city of Austin during South by Southwest. We're booked to play March 16th at Love Fest in Austin, so I encourage anybody that lives in and around the Austin area, if you want to see LA Calling live, if you would like high energy entertainment, I highly encourage you to come down, see us play. I encourage you guys to buy my new single, Crush. You can go to www.lacalling.com, and you know, at the page, you can find what you like there, music, videos, and but yeah, I really would encourage you guys to buy the new single Crush on www.lacalling.com.
As I listen to your music, mm-hmm. there seems to be a really huge difference in the quality of sound. I know that you believe in slow cooking music. Could you please explain what you mean by that to our audience?
Yeah, you know, making music to me, it's like brewing beer, or like, you know, like making good whiskey, or, you know, or just making a special sauce. You know, I make sure that I really take my time, because the most important thing for me is to put out my quality music, you know. I'm not interested in releasing 380 songs, you know, if they're all poor quality. I'd be very happy if I just put out 10 songs and they were good, you know? And so the way I do that is that when I, do the production and the mixing, you know, I take my tracks into the big studios and I run my stuff through the big amplifiers, the big SSLs and stuff, and, you know, because the hardware will cook up your sound, you know, in a way that a laptop, you know, can't and probably won't. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of mixes out there, and you can tell that they're mixed on a laptop, and they sound okay, you know. But if someone's going to give me the opportunity to be in their iPod, if I'm going to be blasting loud in their ears, if LA Calling is going to be, you know, in their ear that loud, you know, then I feel like I have an obligation to really, like, give them a sonic experience. I have an obligation to take them on a journey, you know, on a roller coaster of sound. And so to achieve that, you know, it's expensive, you know, but it's totally worth it. And that's why, you know, I encourage your listeners that are listening, you know, if you guys like LA Calling music, I encourage you, go buy LA Calling music. The more music you buy, the more music I can make. You know, I never put anything out that, you know, I won't put my name on. You know, I don't put anything out that's cheap. I don't, you know, I don't cut corners. You know, I give you guys my best, you know. And so if you get an opportunity, www.lacalling.com is the place.
Let us take a listen to Spinhead.
Okay.
She had blue eyes and beautiful skin, shiny black boots to match again. She was a spinhead. She was a spinhead.
Spinhead. Welcome back to Talking with the G's on BBS Radio. We have LA Calling here. LA Calling, I would really like to know what inspired you to write that song.
What inspired me to write that song? You know, I wanted to write a song that merged discotheque music with punk rock music. And I wanted a perfect balance, or, you know, the best that I can do to create that balance, you know. I wanted also, like, some some Euro disco in there. I wanted also like some kind of heaviness in there, so I put in some bombs in there. But the bombs that I put in there, not enough so that they'll keep you from dancing, but kind of more the bomb sounds are more like to kind of keep you, kind of urging you to keep, like, you know, keep stomping along, you know. The song is about this really, like, really little short dude that's in love with the really, really tall girl. And she's kind of bad news, you know. She kind of won't level with him. She has she's kind of an insincere person. She's just kind of a spinhead, you know. And he knows he shouldn't get involved with her, but he still wants to. So that's what spinhead's all about.
Song's true to life, it sounds like.
Isn't that right?
It is.
Yeah.
We have another caller. I believe okay. It's Anita. Hello, Anita. How are you today?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Wow. Happy to hear you.
Yes, I was listening to the show. I was listening to the show, and the music is great. And I've been listening to the show since you guys first came on. But I have a question for the artist. When are you coming to Houston?
Houston. You know what?
Yes.
I'm so glad you asked that, because we are playing Austin, Texas. We're playing Love Fest on March 16th. And I really believe, just by talking to, like, several of the booking agents and talking to the record company, that Texas, I think it's going to be one of our launching pads. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be like San Antonio, Dallas, Houston. I know that that's like a big triangle, right? Like between Houston.
Yes, it is.
And you know what? We were talking about maybe doing a couple of shows outside of Austin, because we're going to be there for almost a month. But we're doing like several shows in South by Southwest. But in between breaks, we have been looking into playing Houston and San Antonio. So, you know, you might see us in March. And I hope that really comes together.
Okay. Look forward to hearing from you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, to the host. I enjoy your show. I love your show. And I can't wait for more things to happen.
Thank you. We will be here with more great artists.
All right. You all
Thank
take
you
care.
Calling, ma'am.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We actually have time for more callers. So if you're out there, we would love to hear from you. So give us a call. The number is on the BBS website. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me right now. But LA Calling.
Yeah.
In your career, what was the craziest thing that's ever happened to you?
The craziest thing that's ever happened to me? I think the craziest thing I've ever seen was one time we were doing a gig it was at Water Village. And yeah, at Water Village, it's probably about, maybe it's the city next over from Silver Lake. And right there, it's in LA. Now, to give the listeners an idea, it's at the bottom of the hill of Dodger Stadium, just to give you guys a point of reference. And we were doing a gig at this, like, it was like this really giant studio, you know? And so we're playing music, and, you know, there was some guy in the crowd. He was, I guess, getting either too excited or too drunk or something. And he was just kind of like, I guess, just kind of egging everybody on in a real kind of spastic kind of way. And, like, next thing I know, like, in the middle of a song, like, this riot breaks out, and, like, we're still, like, playing. And it's a full-fledged riot. I mean, you know, just like the old West, like, just like the old saloons. I mean, a full-on riot, man. It's like 30 people going for it. And but we were still like playing, you know, like, and it was like we were like the soundtrack to this like movie, and it just looked like a hurricane, you know. And I would say that's probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen playing.
It sounds like it. Sounds like a lot of fun, too.
Well, it was fun and dangerous, all wrapped into one, you know?
Any advice for up-and-coming artists? Is there anything that you would tell them? Words of wisdom?
You know, I don't know if I'm the right person to give advice, you know? All I can tell is other musicians that the little bit that I've learned, you know, along the way has been trial and error. You know, it's been, you know, hit and miss. And, you know, in recent times I've been able to catch some momentum. So, but I think the one thing I can share is that for me, I decided to focus on one thing and one thing alone. And that was music. And the biggest challenge was to keep distractions away, to just focus on developing your craft, your talent, and doing something good with it. And hopefully things will work out the way you dream that they will.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. We're really
my pleasure.
Happy and excited that you joined us today. We were really thrilled. It was enlightening. It was inspiring.
My pleasure.
And you know what? In the history of David and Danielle's Talking with the G's, we've never had so many callers. So we want to really thank the callers for calling in.
Fantastic.
So before we sign off, can you please tell the listeners how they can become a Twitter follower?
Yes, Twitter.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at LA Calling Tweets, as in LACALLINGTWEETS, LA Calling Tweets.
All right. I actually have one more question. What would you say separates you from everybody else out there?
I would say quality. I mean, quality of sound, you know? As I mentioned earlier, you know, I do my best to give them quality sound and to give them an electric experience. The point of LA Calling is to, you know, give them an electrical charge, you know, get them pumped, you know, get their adrenaline going, and, you know, that couldn't make me, you know, nothing could make me more happier than that, is to really make sure the people get their money's worth.
Excellent. All right. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. And we'll be closing with one more song called I Am the DJ.
Yard is a fact, and we can't wait,
come on,
cause the DJ's late.